Sidney Pollack's new film is out. It's called The Interpreter. Nicole Kidman plays a United Nations interpreter who returns to the audio booth one night to pick up her flute and sheet music and just happens to overhear a couple of men plotting to assassinate the president of a fictional African country called Matobo.
How'd you happen to be up there after hours?
We had an evacuation. I left some of my things in the sound booth. I had to go back for them.
Mm-hmm. And at that moment, there happened to be a couple of fellows talking about an assassination in a language that you and maybe 8 other people understand in a room full of microphones.
Do you think I'm making it up? Why would I report a threat I didn't hear?
People do.
I don't.
Some people like attention.
I don't.
Sean Penn plays the U.S. Secret Service man called into question and then protector. Sidney Pollack is one of the most celebrated directors in films and has been for a generation. He's directed widescreen Robert Redford epics, including The Way We Were and Out of Africa, for which he won the Academy Award. He's also directed small, tight, and intense films, like 3 Days of the Condor, starring Faye Dunaway and Robert Redford. Charming and bubbly comedies, like Electric Horseman, starring Jane Fonda and Robert Redford. And a film that's widely considered one of the greatest comedies of all time, Tootsie, starring Jessica Lange and, oh, Dustin Hoffman. What happened to Robert Redford? Must have been busy. Sidney Pollack joins us from our studios in New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Scott.
And let me ask you, since I don't think Mr. Redford will be joining us, but we can turn to him. No, it's a pleasure to talk to you. You're the first person allowed to film a motion picture inside the UN. Not even Alfred Hitchcock got to do that, North by Northwest. Can you tell us something about the negotiation that went on?
Well, I keep wondering whether I can pump it up into something really fascinating and interesting. It was actually pretty straightforward. The problem really was getting to the Secretary General. Well, once I got to Kofi Annan, he was extremely patient, cooperative, and my big problem was to convince him that I was not making a UN message movie. I was trying to make a piece of Friday night entertainment, a thriller, and it was going to have as many thrills as I could pack into it.
The suggestion that you could work in the UN building and run into Nicole Kidman must help job recruitment somewhat, I should think.
We had an awful lot of ambassadors suddenly wanting to be in the movie. We didn't have any trouble getting extras. As a matter of fact, I have to tell you, it's so cliche, I feel weird saying it, but I went to an ambassador's dinner, I won't say who or where, and the host said to me in the middle of dinner, listen, Ambassador so-and-so, he's really interesting and a good guy. Can he give you his reel? I said, what?
And his William Morris agent's number, yeah.
And I walked out, and they gave me a cassette with all these little bits and parts that this guy had played.
Did the UN get anything like script approval?
Very close. What we were told and what took place was that they reserved the right to pull all the UN footage if they felt that we were in any way embarrassing them or misleading the public about the UN. So as script pages were polished and written, I would send them in to the man who was in charge of that for the UN, who himself is a novelist. He's the Undersecretary General in charge of public information. He's an Indian man named Shashi Tharoor.
Yes, he's a very fine novelist and wrote a great biography of Jawaharlal Nehru.
Exactly. And he was our biggest ally. He was the guy that was helping me get permission right from the beginning and putting in very good words for us. And he's the one who I worked closest with, giving him the script pages and so on, and then showing him the picture.
Hmm. Yeah, let me ask you a couple of just biographical and career questions, if I could. You started out as an actor. A lot of people have been familiar with some of your screen cameos in later years. I'm wondering what made you an actor.
To the best of my memory, I believe I was trying desperately to avoid a job, a real job. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I talked my father into, giving me a year, basically, to go away. And I went off to acting school in New York, and it just bit bad, the bug. And I stayed on, and I struggled. I was never much of an actor. I was always playing the the guy who unlocked the jail cell, or you know, something like that. You know, I was like the or the court reporter or whatever. Once in a while, I would get a job, but mostly I earned a living teaching acting, believe it or not, at a very good school here in the city called the Neighborhood Playhouse.
Yeah, we have a clip to play of you. I think a lot of people got in touch with the fact that you were an actor when you directed Tootsie and starred as Michael Dorsey's agent, played by Dustin Hoffman. I guess we give away no plot point to say this is a congenitally unemployed New York actor who dresses up as a woman acts his way into a starring role on a famous soap opera. You play his agent, and he finds you at the Russian Tea Room.
Wait a minute.
I'm new in town and I'm awfully lonely. I wondered if you wouldn't mind buying me lunch.
Wait, hold on. You can't come. Gregory, this was...
Stop! Don't... George. It's Michael Dorsey, okay?
Your favorite client.
How are you?
Last time you got me a job, it was a tomato.
Oh, no. Yeah?
No.
Swear to God.
Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I begged you to get some therapy.
I know, and you also told me that no one would ever hire me again.
Jesus Christ, you think this is going to make a difference?
Soap, George. I'm the new woman administrator on Southwest General.
You ought to
congratulate me. They almost didn't hire me because they thought I looked too feminine.
Something from the bar.
Isn't that amazing?
Please, could you get me a double vodka right away, please?
You know,
for the lady?
Oh, how about a Dubonnet with a twist?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. That's a lovely blouse.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I think that's one of the great movie moments of all time. I really do. It's just hilarious.
The irony, of course, is I don't care anymore about acting, and now I get a lot of jobs.
Yeah, well, I mean, you put yourself, or somebody put you in the interpreter. You play Sean Penn's boss.
I work cheap, and I couldn't get a better actor for the money, so I did it. I was that's the producer in me.
Well, you identified overwhelmingly as a producer of big Hollywood films. I wonder, though, we've talked so much in recent years, by the way, thanks to Robert Redford's influence, about what an independent film can do that a big studio production can't. Is there a speech to be given in behalf of what the big studio film can do that a small independent film can't?
I think these large international films give everybody a glimpse of what the other part of the world is living like, and at a certain point it becomes impossible to isolate people from other people because of cultural exchange. And I just believe that I don't mean that independent films can't contribute to that too. They sure do. I've done a lot of small movies, a lot of more independent movies, you know, but the vast audiences that see large movies, they're influenced strongly by them. And now, not all of those big movies are good for you. I suppose there's a lot of bad ones, and I'm sure people would say I've made some of them. But the good ones do move you in a crazy way. And the best teaching in the world is when you're laughing or crying or worried or suspenseful, something is getting to you in a way. So the reach of these movies internationally is huge, and their effect is huge. It's a big, and it's a responsibility.
Well, Sidney Pollack, thanks so much for speaking with us.
It was my pleasure, Scott.
Sidney Pollack, producer, director, and actor. His new film is called The Interpreter. And you're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.